But at Deer Camp, each night as we are gathered around our little living room, sequestered in the cabin, the wood stove blasting and warming us against the snow and the cold outside, my brothers and nephews, but mostly my brothers and I, sit around and we reminisce. There's much laughter, there's sometimes tears, and there's nothing like a good remember when story. Our message for today is about a remember when story. In fact, this particular remember when came with a command from God. Remember this day. Remember this day. The people of God, the people of Israel didn't have a chance. They were required to remember. They needed to remember. They needed to never forget what God did in bringing them out of slavery in Egypt. It's what makes the truth of Matthew Henry's words, which you find on the front of your worship folder, so powerful and true. The more God, more of God and his power appears in any deliverance, the more memorable it is. God is reminding Israel with, remember when, Israel? Remember what, Israel? Remember this day, Israel. It's just the first in a history of examples of my love and care and deliverance that you are going to experience. And that command isn't just for the Israelites. It's for us too. So apply what you hear here this morning to yourself as well. We need to remember and we need to never forget that we too have been delivered. So there's much for us to learn here. So let's look at it. First, some background. Hopefully, you took my suggestion that I sent out on Thursday and read the entire text for the morning, which is Exodus 12:33 through 13:16. I'm not going to read all of that. I'm going to read a portion of it, but I'm going to make varying references to it throughout the talk. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the 10 plagues, of which the final one was the most horrific by far. It was the death of all firstborn in all of Israel, both man and beast, the scripture tells us. But it did not happen to the children of Israel. They escaped the plague as they had escaped every one of the plagues, the previous nine. Finally, the Egyptians, from Pharaoh all the way down, said, enough, enough. And they couldn't get rid of the Israelites fast enough. They said, here, take this, whatever you want. Just get out of here. So the Hebrews packed up everything, including bread dough that hadn't even had time to rise, and they headed into the desert. They also packed up the dough of the Egyptians, by the way, not the bread kind. Although if you were around in the early 70s, bread would have meant what I'm talking about here, because it says here in Exodus 12 that they asked the Egyptians for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing, and the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so they let them have what they asked, and they plundered the Egyptians. So the Egyptians financed Israel's escape. Their 430 years, the Israelites' 430 years in Egypt ended up with a migration of 600,000 men, their families, their flocks, and their herds of livestock. And they traveled from Ramses south to Sukkot, which is probably about 120 miles away. It wasn't a one-day trip. It would be like driving from here to Cincinnati for us, but they walked it. 2 million people. 2 million people with flocks and children and pregnant people and old people. And so it probably took at least 9 days. This was the beginning of the Exodus, after which this book and this series are entitled. Exodus means the way out. And this was the beginning of the way out of Egypt. And it was a monumental task. 2 million people. I'm also interested that the text tells us that a mixed multitude also went with them in Exodus 12:38. A mixed multitude. There were people along who were not purebred Hebrews, but they had married in or just joined with this group of people who obviously enjoyed the blessing of a God who was actually there. Notice one thing, one more thing. For a mass movement, absolute obedience is necessary. When you need to move, and you need to move carefully and fast, you need cooperation. It's usually right when Grady starts acting up, okay? Absolute obedience, we're still working on that. Absolute obedience is necessary. You need to get going. When God said leave, they left. When God said leave, that meant there was no time to bake. There was only time to get out of Egypt. Now, I blame something on Grady there, but I always find out that there's one more thing that I could do, okay? Put the trash out, make the bed, whatever. God said, leave. Get out of here right now. This is what God wanted them to remember as they had their holy celebration of Passover. Just a little bit ago, I pointed out that it was a mixed crowd. Not everyone was a Hebrew. But our text says, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the statute of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat of it. How could everyone participate in the celebration of the Passover? Well, they needed to be circumcised. Circumcision was an act of obedience which set the people of Israel apart for God. And so this mixed crowd, these Egyptians or whoever, Ethiopians or whatever, who were mixed into the crowd, they were circumcised too. They became part of the people of Israel. This recognized the utter seriousness and solemnity of the celebration of Passover. It's pretty extensive in your text of what was required for Passover. In response to God's requirement, as I said, which was pretty extensive, our text says, all the people did just as the Lord God commanded Moses and Aaron, and on that very day, the Lord brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their hosts. And they looked at one another with amazement and asked, remember when we actually listened to and obeyed God? Wow, wasn't that a great day when we actually listened to him? And then what did God ask in return? Well, that's extensive in this passage too, and I urge you to study it. I'm not going to spend much time on it now, but he asked for their own firstborn. They had escaped the plague in Egypt, the plague of the death of the firstborn. Now God required first fruits from them. And this is all God ever asks of his people. It's like the song, give of your best to the Master. He wants us all. The same Lord who brought Israel out of Egypt gives and sustains, and so rightfully, and he owns and possesses all life. What we have is actually his. Now, let me read Exodus 13:16. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine." Then Moses said to the people, "Remember this day, which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Today, in the month of Abib, you're going out, and when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. No leavened bread shall be seen with you, and no leaven shall be seen with you in all your territory. You shall tell your son on that day, 'It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.' And it shall be to you as a sign on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth, for with a strong hand the Lord brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this statute at its appointed time from year to year. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem." And thus the Lord traveled. No, I skipped the page. And when in time and to come, your son asks you, "What does this mean?" You shall say to him, "By a strong hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that open the womb. For all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. It shall be as a mark on your hand, or frontlets between your eyes. For by a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt." What he's saying there is, remember this day. Remember this day. Remember God's strength that made it all possible. Commemorate it with the bread of remembrance. Why, Mom? Why is this bread flat? Well, it's from the time that we left Egypt, and we left so quickly the bread didn't have time to rise. Commemorate it with the bread of remembrance. The Israelites would be reminded in the month of Abib. Every year it would come around. Every year when it rolls around, their memory is stirred. It's like our celebration of anniversaries or birthdays, which are a time of celebration and of thanks to God for what he's done. It helps us to remember. It's episodic memory that takes us back. We will remember this day and sojourn that brought not only deliverance, but reward. For the Hebrews, it was their homeland. They were going toward a land flowing with milk and honey. So he tells the Israelites, remember to tell your kids. God did this for us as a people. God did this for me, and God did this for you. Imprint it on your mind. And they're using word pictures like a frontlet that would go right here or right there. If I have something hanging off right there, that's why we wear wristwatches, okay? If I have something right there, it kind of reminds me all the time. If I see something right there, everybody else is going to be reminded. And the Israelites took that very, very seriously, and it ended up being a problem for Jesus later down the road when they did that to show how holy they were, but their hearts weren't holy. So imprint it on your mind. Imprint it in your words, okay? Imprint in your mind what God has done. And then allow your words to portray that, to spread that good word. And when you remember this day, it is a sign for all and forever of the goodness of God. There are so many parallels here for us, and we've been doing that all through the message. But our spiritual ancestors, the chosen people of God, the Israelites, were called to remember, and so are we. God sent his firstborn to be the final Passover lamb. Remember this, ABC. When we break the bread and we drink the cup, as we did last week, we do this in remembrance of him. That's what Chris read. When Jesus implemented communion in Luke 22, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Do that in remembrance of him who gave his life for us. We remember and God's power and strength over sin and death. By it, we have eternal life. We have that promise. We remember our own deliverance from slavery to sin and to death. And our deliverance is our promised land. And it's eternal life. The Israelites look forward to a land, the land of Canaan, flowing with milk and honey. We look to heaven. The command then is to pass it on. The people of Israel were to carry on their remembrance like a written sign on their forehead or on the back of their hand. We need to have it imprinted in our very being so that just by looking at us and hearing our words, they'll know that we are Christ followers. In this world these days, people are getting the wrong impression of Christ followers. Let's have Jesus imprinted on our life. We need to teach our children in the same way to remember this day, or simply just remember that God is good all the time. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your deliverance. Thanks for bringing us out of our own slavery. And thank you, Lord, for the example of what we saw, what we see, and what God did, what you did in bringing millions of people and delivering them and bringing them into the land flowing with milk and honey. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Your mercies never fail me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are closer like no other. I've known you as a father.